Today on Real Radio.
Can you imagine? Paul looks down and he sees someone there, and he's Sergius Paulus is there. And Paul goes, I'm glad that you're all here. And you, oh, full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you who do not cease to pervert the straight ways of God, and now the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. How'd you like that? How'd you like to go to a church service like that? Holy moly. That's exactly what Paul did. There was a guy there to rip off the flock, to rip people off. The God of all grace be with you, and he'll crush Satan's head underneath your feet shortly. It's just something in passing. It was common knowledge.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called The Gospel Goes to the World. It's part of this New Testament written account that tells of the good news being preached outside of Judea, even outside of the Roman Empire, and in a very short amount of time. Let's continue with this presentation taken from Acts 13 in the first 12 verses. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
You think Satan's going to show up with, you know, horns hanging out of his head and all this stuff? Listen, that's from Hollywood. He's not like that. If he showed up on the scene, you'd think, what a guy! Paul the Apostle warns us over and over again to look for Satan's ministers. Where? In some back alley someplace? No, he says, look in the pulpit. There are imposters. That's what the word, by the way, Bar-Jesus is all about. This Eliamus was his name, translated. He went around, he was fake. He went around saying, my name's Bar-Jesus, my name's Bar-Jesus. Well, what's Bar-Jesus? The word Bar means son of. Like Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Bar-Jesus is son of Jesus. The guy was an imposter. I'm the son of Jesus, watch what I can do. You see the word sorcerer there? It means he's a magician. He was a con artist. He practiced the arts, and the word also implies that he used drugs. It's where we get the word drugs, pharmaceuticals, pharmakei. He used drugs to also induce his victims into his deception. What's his name? Bar-Jesus. Here at your service to pull off the latest sham. But the opposition is that he's standing there because Paul and Barnabas are going to give out the word of God, and Sergius Paulus, the man he works with, wants to hear the Bible. So what do you think he's going to do, roll over? Oh no, Satan doesn't wear tight underwear with a pitchfork. He's dressed in light. He's dressed as somebody good. But in time, he'll be exposed. About a month or so ago, we had a lady, I don't remember if it was this service or what service it was, but maybe it was more than a month ago. We're talking about false prophets. It happened to be going through in the book of Acts where there's some false prophets. And we're teaching on that. And there's a lady up here sitting to my left, your right, and she's going, amen, amen. And I'd say something else. She'd go, amen. And she's really getting into it. I thought, man, that lady is really here, man. And right when we just got done and the worship team began to come up and I was stepping down, she says, I've got a message from God. And I got a hold of her right over here, and I said, ma'am, I can't hear a word you're saying, which was not exactly the truth. And I said, I'm gonna have to talk to you outside. You get this wild look in their eye. It's a really weird look. And we walked outside, and even before we got outside, we got to the drinking fountain. She planted her heels. Wait a minute. You're not interested in what I have to say. You're not going to let me go back in that sanctuary. I said, honey, you got that right. Just keep walking. She wouldn't go. I grabbed her by the arm. It's against the law, you know, to disrupt a religious service. You can get arrested. Walked her outside. I said, now what's your message? I got a message from the Lord. Well, tell me. Well, I'm God's prophet. I go, then God's prophet ought to be able to get together with God's pastor, and we ought to get along. So tell me the message. No, you don't understand. I said, look, lady, you don't understand. I can't have you go walk in there. Tell me the message. So she began to tell me the message. I said, you're not going in there. And she gave me a one-way sign, but it wasn't the Jesus one-way sign. And she began to spew out all this four-letter words, you know. You know, just, and it's holy moly. And I turned her over to the ushers, you know. I got out of there. It's not what you know, it's who you know. So I got out of there, and as she went home, she's just spewing her venom. She was not of God. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. The warning to us is that things happen when God is doing a work, expect opposition. How's your family doing anyway? Have you noticed since you've drawn a line for God that basically all hell's kind of broken loose in your home? We're going to pray, so the phone rings the moment you bow your head. Have you noticed that? Let's open up our Bible. But where is our Bible? I can't find it. Well, did you? I don't know where it is. Can't find it. Then, you know, you get Junior down and you're going to pray. Let's pray, Junior. We're going to, and the little guy turns into a maniac. Have you been there? I've been there. Why is it? Listen, your family is under attack, and it is not the world. It is Satan using the world. And Satan will use people masquerading as Christians. Satan will even use Christians. He'll provoke us. We'll feel irritable, or we can't explain the confusion that we're feeling or having. And why is this dark cloud upon me? Listen, you need to pray. The enemy is attacking. And you might say, oh, but Jack, I don't believe in him. Oh, listen to this. The Gallup poll, 1991. Do you believe that Satan is just a myth and not real? That poll asked that question. This is the response. 69%, Gallup said, of all Catholics polled said they did not believe in a real devil. 65% of Protestants said they did not believe in a real devil. 47% of evangelical Christians said they did not believe in a real devil. When I got that, I got mad. Hang on, it gets worse or better for the devil. 43% of born-again Christians in the George Gallup poll said they don't believe in a real devil. Well, let me ask you something here. Have you ever seen a lion walking around in Africa on the TV shows? In fact, what about hometown? What about right here, Chino Hills? What about the mountain lions? You think they walk through the tall grass? I am a puma, I'm a cougar, shoot me. I am here to stalk your poodles, your cats, and small children. Have you noticed? You turn on PBS and you watch the show Nature. They've got little impalas and gazelles running around. They're frolicking out on the tundra, whatever it's called. The savannah. They're out there hobbling around. And you think you see, you know, a lion go, psst, I am a lion. I am after you. And that lion doesn't even come out with a red underwear with a pitchfork on. That little lamb or that little impala, whatever it is just frolicking around, and it's there doing its thing, and all of a sudden, it's over. And Peter told us, I'm so excited about this. Peter told us in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober. Why? Be vigilant. Why? Well, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. You're sitting here right now, hey man, I'm born again, and I don't believe there's a real devil. Well, you're one of the 43%. And how great of a duped job he's done on you for you to think, there's no devil. It's just the way it is. You can't do that. You can't be like that. In fact, if there's no devil, then why evangelize? If there's no devil, then why have urgency? If there's no one fighting against your soul where God is saying, I love you, come to me. I'm going to wash away your sins. I'm going to give you eternal life. And the devil's saying, I hate your guts. I'll remind you of your sin every day, and I want you to rot in hell with me forever. Now, that is true, and that's what's going on theologically. But we don't want to think about certain things like that because it might make us uncomfortable. But that very fact alone compels us to get the news out there, and you better expect opposition. Because he's real. Well, you might be saying, I still don't believe. Well, listen to this. Billy Graham, again, Time Magazine, quote, "The preaching has always taken its toll upon me. There have been times I've come down from the pulpit absolutely exhausted," Billy Graham said. "It's as though I've been wrestling with the devil himself, who has been going about doing everything in the crusade to keep people from coming to a clear message of the gospel of Jesus Christ," close quote. That is exactly true. That is exactly the truth. You think this is an old dusty book? Let me tell you, this thing is alive. This thing breathes. This thing changes worlds. And Satan knows it. You may not think so, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul says there, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, little g, of this world has blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them and they be converted." You see, they don't believe in him. They don't believe in the gospel because they don't believe in the power of the devil. He's got them totally wrapped and duped. Let's set the record straight right now. I'm going to rattle off some verses. If you believe in a personal devil or if you don't believe in a personal devil, write these verses down. It doesn't matter. First of all, the Bible assumes it's common knowledge. Listen to this. Paul said in Romans 16:20, this cracks me up, in his salutation, he's saying goodbye in his farewell address, "And the God of all peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Isn't that a crack up? The God of all grace will crush Satan's head under your heel shortly. And goodbye and God bless and I'll see you later. Do you realize if that happened today? I love what Paul did. Look in the scripture there in verse 10. Paul's there, they're ministering. There's Sergius Paulus. The man wants to hear the word of God. He's an important man within the city. Elymas is standing there. Paul comes up. "Excuse me. I'm glad that we're here." And he looks down. Now, I won't look at anybody particular, so you don't take it personal. But can you imagine Paul looks down and he sees someone there and he's, Sergius Paulus is there. And Paul goes, "I'm glad that you're all here." And you, oh, full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you who do not cease to pervert the straight ways of God, and now the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. How'd you like that? How'd you like to go to a church service like that? Holy moly. That's exactly what Paul did. There was a guy there to rip off the flock, to rip people off. "The God of all grace be with you, and he'll crush Satan's head underneath your feet shortly." It's just something in passing. It was common knowledge. Listen to this. Paul again, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared in the same, that through death Jesus might destroy Satan who had power of death." Jesus speaks of him, and so does Paul, like a personal being. Yeah, but 43% of born-again evangelicals don't believe in it. Hey, it's time for the 43% to wake up. It's time for the world to wake up. It's unbelievable. Listen to this word, 2 Timothy 2:26. Paul says there again, "And that they may come to their senses, those who have gone astray, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him," personal pronoun. Satan is referred to as a him, a person, not a thing, not a philosophy, not an it. He's real. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He's real. The words of Ezra in the Old Testament, this is a tremendous verse. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, Ezra says this, "Now it was Satan who stood up against Israel and motivated David to number Israel." Ezra, the pastor, knew that in 1 Chronicles 21:1. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 1, Zechariah says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord." Now get this. "And Satan was standing right alongside him to oppose him." Isn't that amazing? Here's Joshua, the high priest. He's doing God's work. And on one side is Satan, and on one side is the angel of the Lord, because he's committed himself to do God's work. Is this making any sense to anybody? This is serious stuff. The enemy will oppose the work that God wants to do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Write it down. You're going to need it. 1 John 3:8. He who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the very beginning. For that purpose, the Son of God has come, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He is a personal devil that can be dealt with. In 1 John 4:4, this is the verse at our home this week. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the capital he is greater is Jesus Christ, and the little h on the he is Satan who's in the world. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you is more powerful than the devil. Now, I'm sitting here going through my notes last night, and I'm preparing for this thing, and I'm laying in bed, and I got the light on, and I'm reading this stuff and making some corrections and all, and this is pretty funny. It wasn't at the time. I'm sitting there reading this, and I hear this noise. And it stopped, and then it went away, and then it stopped. It came out about 4 or 5 times. I'm like, what is this? What is this? And I'm thinking, I just got done reading a little pamphlet on spiritual warfare. And I'm reading this thing. I put this thing down. I hear this little noise. What's going on? So I get him. I got a flashlight. Going over to my closet. Thinking, oh Lord, what's going on? Now this isn't funny, God. You're going to use this for tomorrow, I'm sure. What's behind this closet door? And then I thought, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, I'm thinking. Well, then why am I kind of nervous about this? And I start to slide open the closet door, and there's a shirt that I had taken, and I was too lazy to hang it up, so I threw it in the closet, hoping that Lisa wouldn't find it. And it hit a bag that has a bunch of Bible tapes in it. It had a shopping bag, and it's rustling as the shirt is falling down slowly more and more, and it's making this noise. And here I'm thinking, there, behind that closet. Come out, thou foul spirit. Now, we don't have to worry about demons being behind every door and all, but let me tell you, I was ready. And Peter warns us. He says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is like a lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And listen, that's you. Not me. Yeah, that's you. First things first, he's going to go after the people who are most effective. Then he's going to go after new believers. He loves to eat new believers for lunch. That's why if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you need to stay in church. You need to stay in the Bible. He'll eat you up. He'll rob the word out of your heart. Then the next thing he does is he goes out and he gets guys like Lazarus. You know who Lazarus is? Remember Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead? Jesus spoke the word and gave him life. Lazarus is standing there and he's totally wrapped up in grave clothes and he couldn't do anything until Jesus said, somebody loose the guy. Some of you have been given eternal life. But you've been wrapped with fear. You think about the past. Oh, my past. It's so bad. My past was this way. My past was that way. And Satan uses your past to rob you for your future. He gets you so much looking back that you begin to be sterile for the future. If he can keep you bound up in what happened to you, then God will never have victory in your life because you won't let him. If he can't keep you apathetic, then he'll keep you bound with the past. Paul says, forget those things that are behind. And press forward in Christ. He'll wrap us up. James says, in James 4:7, James says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise. Isn't that great? Listen to the words of Jesus. But he turned, Jesus did, and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Yeah, but Jack, 43% of the people polled said there's not a real devil. Well, too bad Jesus didn't know all that information. It's too bad Paul the Apostle didn't know that. It's too bad Ezra didn't know that. It's too bad Zechariah didn't know that. Listen, he's for real. Jesus said so. You believe in God? You believe in Jesus Christ? Jesus says there's a real devil. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Jesus spoke to him personally. says there that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said to him, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Jesus tells us that there's a real adversary. In fact, Jesus said something that just kind of blows my mind. Remember the Pharisees were standing there arguing with him? And Jesus says, "You know what? You guys are of your father the devil." That's very subtle, isn't it? Your family tree is absolutely corrupt. And he says he's a liar from the very beginning, and he's the father of lies. Jesus speaks about him as a real person. Listen, he's the one that's against your home. He's the one that's tearing up your family. He's the one that is against you coming to Christ, or now that you've come to Christ, he's the one that's against you from growing. He wants to wipe you out. And so when will Satan come against us? When things are at their absolute best, and when things are at their absolute worst, and when things are just happening, period. It was in the Garden of Eden that Satan came to Eve. Remember that. It was paradise. It was in the midst of Jesus' ministry where the enemy began to manifest his presence, right before the Son of God himself. Listen to this. It was Satan himself who joined Jesus' church. Jesus was the pastor of 12 guys. And in the midst of them, one was possessed by the devil. Amazing. We need to be so very, very careful in the day and age in which we live. I need to wrap this up, but I'll do so by saying this. In verse 9, where it says there, "Then Saul, who was called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked intently at him, and he began to pronounce his judgment." The fact that we need to realize right now is that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you asked God to baptize you or fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5:18 declares in the Greek language, you need to ask him to fill you constantly. When's the last time you asked? God has promised you as you bow your heart and your head. Now you're already born again. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. But now you need the Holy Spirit's power upon you. And Ephesians 5:18 tells us that we need to ask that often. That's how Paul was able to deal with the enemy, was under the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you're either a goer or you're a sender. There's going to be opposition. We have a wonderful meeting taking place this afternoon about our next trip to Russia. And every person signed up on that list is going to receive opposition. It's going to receive attack. But also, they will experience the greatest blessings that they've ever seen in their life, ever.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called "The Gospel Goes to the World," a mini-series taken from the first 12 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 13. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Now, before we wrap up today's broadcast, just a brief reminder that the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is just about 2 months away. So if you haven't yet registered for this ticketed event, just pay a brief visit to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Very easy to use. There's even a brief video presentation by Pastor Jack wherein he tells you all about the featured participants. Again, SoCalProphecyConference.com. Or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.